Welcome back, everybody, to the Deep Thought Podcast. My name is Yusuf, and today I'm joined with my co-hosts, Ümit.
Yo.
Sardar.
Hey, what's up?
Mendy.
What's good?
We also have a special guest here as well, Engin.
Yeah.
All right. Today, guys, we're going to be talking... What's so funny, bro?
I just love Engin. Go ahead.
We all love Engin. All right. So today, got a little interesting topic for you guys. We're going to be talking about conspiracy theories that were proven true. There's a few. Yeah, right? Dun, dun, dun. Big plot twist. Anyways, so we're just going to talk about a few that are very well known. Many of you might have already heard it before. Which one do you want to start with, Ümit? I know you probably know the most out of everybody here.
We can start with the Tuskegee experiment.
All right, yeah, that one's a pretty interesting one. So that one, I believe it was, the experiment was on syphilis, right? To see if it affected black people differently than white people.
Yep, it was conducted starting in 1932. Basically, for some reason, the government thought that syphilis must not affect black people the same way it affects white people. So they decided to run this experiment where they pretended to do tests for syphilis on black people and then told them that they had syphilis, but the test actually gave them syphilis. And then they said that they were going to treat their syphilis now and that the people had to keep coming back to get their treatments or else they were going to die. But in reality, they were just giving them placebos the whole time and just sort of monitoring the effects of the syphilis on their brains to see if it's affecting their brains differently than it did for white people.
Damn, that's fucked up.
Wait, really?
Yes, this was
done. The people had no idea?
No, they had no idea. They thought they already tested positive for syphilis based off the test and were giving placebo and were given real medicine to try to treat it, when in reality they were just being given placebos just to see how it affected their brains. And this went on from 1932 to 1972. So it went on.
They wanted to see how syphilis affected their brains?
Yes.
Okay, is this like regular hospitals?
It was the US Public Health Service that did it. They like set up like makeshift like service centers in the area, and then they in Alabama, in Macon County, Alabama, and then they just started giving these people syphilis and sort of monitoring it.
So when did this whole thing, you know, blow up, or as in, like, be exposed?
I mean, it didn't even really, like, get fully exposed. Like, it just sort of came out over time that, like, this was going on. And, like, the U.S. government, like, had to, like, apologize for it. And it was really messed up because they were saying they were giving these people free health care, part of the federal government. And, like...
Were they?
No, because... They were purposely...
So the government was lying.
Yeah, the whole time they lied to these people.
Whoa. The government lying? Oh my God.
And it came out when people that were working for the public, for the government, like, was like, bro, this study's so messed up. Like, we can't do this anymore. Like, why are we still doing this study? And so they sort of came out and revealed what was going on. So...
Was there, like, any repercussions?
I mean, like, there's long-term repercussions that happened. Like, there was a settlement on behalf of the descendants of the people who were given syphilis, and the U.S. government had to pay out, like, $10 million back then. And they were going to provide free medical treatments. Yeah, and then provide free medical treatments to all the surviving participants and their family members that were infected because of this, because, you know, syphilis is contagious. So they did not only give it to these men, they gave it to whoever these men, their wives and their family too. Like,
yeah, it goes beyond just the people that were quote unquote experimented on.
Yeah.
You're saying. Yeah. I mean, nowadays we have like this would be even like crazier if it was happening today, just because I know like in school we learn about how, like, ethics is a big part in, like, the scientific community. And, you know, we have curiosity. So, like, proposing the question, like, does syphilis affect black people differently than, like, white people or like every other race? Like, that's not a bad question, but just the way they went about it is obviously unethical. So
you can't purposely do harm.
Yeah, exactly. So like nowadays they like stress that stuff.
And that was a direct response to this. That was also part of the aftermath. Like in 1974, 2 years after, like, Congress passed the National Research Act. And so that was the one that governs how human participant studies are done and to make sure they're all ethical. So like all the institutional review boards that we have now and all the procedures that people have to go through to do human testing is all because this came out. And so, but this was something like black people had said for years that like the US government was using them for medical experiments and stuff like that. And nobody really believed them that this was actually a thing. And so when it finally came out, like, it validated their issues and the fact that this is something they felt like was actually happening. So,
yeah.
So there's another conspiracy. This one hasn't been 100% proven true or false at this point, but basically there's evidence that the CIA worked together with Nicaraguan cartels to sell drugs to fund... basically, they funded the Nicaraguan drug cartels to control the Nicaraguan government and install a right-wing government in Nicaragua that would be counter to communism during the Cold War. And so some people say the CIA got the money by selling drugs in California to poor communities to be able to fund sending money to the Nicaraguan
drug cartel. I see.
But like the author who like wrote this in the newspaper said he had proof and stuff. But like if you read the proof, it's not 100% like – it's like circumstantial evidence where like if you look at it, you're like there could be a connection here, but it wasn't like – a smoking gun where it's like 100% we have all the evidence, like here's like government documents that show they actually did this. It's more like, well, here's money they were getting, these cartels were sending drugs to this place, and all of a sudden they now have this much more money to do their schemes and stuff. So it's this weird, like, it's kind of like, not, I wouldn't say flimsy, but light connection that, like, if you look deeper, you could feel like there's something there, but at the same time, it's not concrete on whether there actually is something there or not.
Yeah, it just looks like that they have some sort of relationship with the Nicaraguan cartel.
I mean, that was the only thing that was true, was that the CIA was funding the Nicaraguan drug cartels so that they would prevent communism from taking over. That was the only part of that that is true. They just don't know if they got money by selling drugs into the cities. So,
and that's not even the only known instance of the CIA funding some sort of organization or group outside in like foreign lands, like the Taliban, for example, to fight against the Soviets.
Yeah, they were called the Mujahideen, and they were funded. And we're given like rockets to shoot down the attack helicopters of the Russian, of the Soviets and stuff. So that was 100% like funded by US. But yeah, that was one of them. And then
how do they get that kind of stuff? Like, how do they fund that shit? Did they fund it with like dirty money, you think?
It's probably a mix.
So that was one of the arguments, like that, like the way they fund this is by selling drugs in the US with some, but like others say, well, like our military spending fund is so huge, and like if you ever, like the one time they tried to check the budget, like $2 billion was unaccounted for, right
because it's just a general, like, budget. They could say anything.
Yeah, and so some people are like, well, where did this $2 billion go? And other people are like, well, we know where it went, but we're not going to say where it went because
it's classified.
Yeah, it implicates something, you know.
Yeah, like I did a small report when I was at community college about the U.S. military's spending. I think it was a discretionary income. And there was a lot of, a lot of the reports I read, there was like people, like the government, the military was spending like hundreds of millions of dollars on like military bases that weren't needed. That, and like other, like even like residential homes for officers, and also like paying exorbitant amount of money for like everyday stuff. Like I think I remember one item, they bought a coffee pot for like I think it was like $600-$700 a single coffee pot. That, like, no one, you shouldn't be paying more than $100 for a coffee pot. Like, $100 coffee pot should be like
gold.
Like, it should be like, not gold, but like, if it's super nice, like metal, extremely durable. Maybe it's like, it's self heating. I don't know.
It can make espresso shots.
And... what if it was like an espresso? Yeah, like
something
machine
with like a high brand. Say that again.
What if it was like an espresso machine? You know, like those really nice ones.
Where
you
like, no, it wasn't a machine. It was just a coffee pot. It was just like the pot. So, like, I don't know, like, the articles I was reading and, like, the different reports I saw, there was just a lot of money being spent on, like, unnecessary things. Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of this stuff is, like, it is there, so, like, you can't just say they said that they did it and the money went there, but it's not there. But the thing is, like, if you know anything about business, if you want a larger budget from the board of directors, whoever outlines a budget, you for the next fiscal year, then what you have to do is you have to spend more than what your exactly current budget is.
Yeah.
So if you spend more than your current budget, and you say, hey, money. Exactly. So you say, hey, we went over our limit, so obviously we need more money. Right. So they're just going to keep. That's how the military keeps increasing the budget. Yeah. They just keep. But
that's how every program does it, though. Like every government, like organization, is going to do that. Yeah, it's just strategic to get bigger.
I mean, it makes sense too, because like if the government notices you're not spending everything they gave to you, then they're gonna be like, well, you don't need as much, so they're gonna give less. So it's sort of
exactly.
Right. It's sort of a weird system where it like. It promotes overspending.
Right. And then they can raise a debt. So they'll just like take a shit ton of debt from wherever.
Yeah. I mean, the government can take as much debt as it needs. Debt is sort of a fake thing, too, if you actually think about it. But
yeah, the government can't really have debt.
It is fake. Think about it. It is fake. But at the same time,
it has real world implications.
Yeah. Because they're going to print more and more money. So that's going to cause inflation.
Yeah. But. So, let's get to the next conspiracy theory that was proven true, which is Project MK Ultra, which, as crazy as the sound, was a CIA-funded mind control program. They wanted to see, is it possible to do mind control on people in order to, like, weaken them and get confessions? They wanted to use this stuff, like, to help, like, in warfare and stuff. Like, capture the enemy and have them confess to you because you control their mind. And tell you everything they know.
And were they successful?
No, they were not successful. Well, at least from the documents we know, they're not successful. But like the ways they did this was giving people high doses of LSD, for example, or other psychoactive drugs to see if that would make like a truth serum. Like if they're so high out of their minds and like hallucinating, will they say anything that you want them to say? And so, but they tested this stuff on like prostitutes and other people who were poor and off the streets, like people who were homeless. And so they would do LSD, they would use electroshock on them, like put little shocking modules on their heads to see if they could shock them to get answers, like to rewire their brain to give them answers. They tried hypnosis on people, tried to hypnotize them. They tried like sensory deprivation, where you put them in a room where they can't hear or see anything and see if that'll get, you can control them by like giving them audio while they're in this room of saying something like, you know, you did it, confess and stuff like this. Try to like break them. There was isolation, there was verbal and sexual abuse and just all different kinds of tortures. Like it was crazy. And yeah, there was, and one of the last things that came out information was like a doctor discussed working on 6 dogs and he like got the 6 dogs to run, turn and stop via remote control and brain implants.
Dude,
what the fuck?
that's crazy. Like that's literally something you would like see in a movie or like a TV show, honestly. Like I'm sure we've all like within our lifetime have thought about that notion of like mind control. Like even just like, you know, you just ask, like, a would you rather, you know what I mean? Like, would you rather have mind control or, like, something else? Like, it's always, like, a hot topic, I feel, for most people. So the fact that, like, it was happening during a time period. When was this? Do you know?
This started in 1953. And it went on till...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was like, it's not even like this was in the early 1900s or like before World War II, where the Holocaust happened and there was human testing by the Nazis. And you would think the world would have been like, oh God, human testing. We saw what the Nazis did. Like, let's make sure we don't do this. Now, the US was doing it itself with MK Ultra, was testing crazy stuff on humans too. Like, it's just, it didn't come out. And it wasn't brought to public attention until 1975, where like President Gerald Ford himself like released the information on it.
You know what's crazy though? I bet this shit happens in every single country, and I bet the US does that kind of stuff in other countries where it's less detectable.
That's a conspiracy, yeah.
Adding more conspiracies to
You
the
know what I mean? Like
conspiracy.
they would never attempt to
Yeah,
do
because why
that.
not?
Yeah. It's less security there, everything's
I mean, it's like
like.
Guantanamo, right? Like, they can do whatever, they torture them as much as they want, even though technically
Yeah.
torture is illegal in the US. Like, it doesn't stop
Yeah,
them
but
on
that's
there.
not US.
It's out of their jurisdiction, so they can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So what was the main goal about mind control? Like, what was their main, like, what do they want to do with this? What
So
did you say?
they had a lot of different things they were trying to prove. They wanted to see if they could give substances to discredit people, like get someone so high on LSD they no longer know what's logical or illogical. So like you give it to your political opponents or people like, I don't know, other country leaders and stuff that are opposed to you, so that they lose all credit. They wanted to see if substance could increase perception and like mental power. They wanted to see like if you could cause people to age faster or slower.
Dude, what the heck? This has
They
a lot of like physiological like applications to it. That's really crazy.
wanted to see if it could enhance the intoxicating effects of alcohol. They wanted to see if it could produce the signs and symptoms of recognized diseases in a way that would be able to reverse engineer them. To see if you could cause temporary or permanent brain damage and loss of memory, if you could use it in torture and brainwashing for interrogations, if you could induce amnesia on someone. Like, you ever seen the Men in Black thing where they like scan it in front of somebody and they forget what happened, right? They want to see if it was possible to do that with drugs, like make someone forget that you did something.
Right.
Using electric shock to see if that's possible too.
Yeah, it's a good, well, it's a good thing that this wasn't like an
Seeing,
easy thing to accomplish.
I mean, that's like half the list of what they tried. Like, they also tried to see if they could make drugs that paralyze your legs and stuff like that, so you can't
What?
escape. Yeah, they were basically testing these drugs and different types of chemical mixtures together just to see what effects it could have on people and like in ways that
This
couldn't.
just makes me like think that like humans are just evil by nature, man. Just these like why?
Well, on the other side, you have people that revealed this, right? And they made sure it was put an end to it. So I think you
Yeah.
get both sides of.
Yeah, I guess so. That's true.
The fact that we have to pass laws to tell people they can't do that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like we shouldn't have to, but we do. People
Yeah.
I
just like to play God, dude. I don't
mean.
know. They just want to control people, I guess. I mean, 'cause you get so much advantage from it. If you telling me that you can control what foreign leaders would do or like discredit them, dude, that's such a strong like hand. You know what I
Oh yeah.
mean? Because that spreads out to the people underneath in those nations. I don't know. That's crazy.
Well, what about like sleeper agents? Like, isn't that an actual thing?
I mean, it's not an actual thing because you can't have like sleeper agents that wake up to a code, but that's why they tried hypnosis, right? You put someone under like permanent hypnosis and you say the word to activate them, and
That's
then
what I'm saying.
they'll wake up and like carry out your orders. It was something they tested, but it's not. Hypnosis doesn't work like that. Like, it's interesting because hypnosis is still used in some therapy modalities to this day, but it's sort of like to help bring out things that people may have been afraid of talking about. And
Being hypnotized is a real thing, though, right?
it's a real thing. It's just the efficacy of it isn't 100% proven for most things that you think. Like, the stuff you see on TV where it's like, I'm gonna hypnotize him and he'll do whatever I say is not true. Can you hypnotize someone so they'll they may be shy about something, but it's something they really want to do and lowers their like inhibition, yes, and make them do it. It's kind of like the way alcohol works, right? Like there are things you wouldn't do if you weren't drunk, but being drunk lowers your inhibition and then you're like, oh, I feel more free to do this stuff, or like I don't care about being judged. And so
it like lets your guard down in a way.
Yeah, so some people use hypnosis to help people do that in therapy, like for people who have suffered from PTSD, for example. But the effects of it isn't really like well known if it's actually super effective or not, but some people like to employ it.
So it's like supposed to have like a positive, you know, means of it. Nobody's trying to like use it negatively. But in this experiment, this whole conspiracy, it's kind of in a negative way.
It was definitely in a negative way.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
Images DC'd. He's still probably recording. Hello, you back?
I'm back.
All right, that's fine. I just wanted to say, on the since we're on the topic of hypnotizing still, I watched the America's Got Talent. This is a TV show, obviously it's for entertainment. Just hear me out, all right? So I thought this whole thing was bullshit. This dude was doing a hypnotizing act, and what he did was he called Howie Mandel onto the stage. And if you guys know Howie Mandel, well, not personally, but like Howie Mandel, in every instance he gets to say it, he never shakes people's hands. He's an extreme germaphobe. Like he's gotten super upset with people when they like if they've touched him before, like with his bare hands or whatever. And so this hypnotizing act had Howie Mandel shaking people's hands without any glove or protection or any hand sanitizer, and Howie Mandel was fine with it. Again, it's TV. I'm sure it was just done for entertainment purposes, but I don't know. I like to believe that Howie Mandel was actually hypnotized. Do
you think he would fake that, man? I feel like
I don't think he would, because
he wouldn't. Yeah, he wouldn't fake it. I feel like it actually worked on him.
That's definitely one of its applications. Like, it's not only for people use it for PTSD, but they use it for something called exposure therapy, where someone's afraid of something and they won't let their guard down enough. Like, let's say you're afraid of spiders, right? Normally in exposure therapy, they would show you a cartoon spider on your computer, right? And then you'll be like, okay, it's just a cartoon spider. It's not that scary. Then they show like a more realistic photo of a spider. Then they'll have a toy spider that's kind of realistic in the room. And then eventually they'd put you in a room with the actual spider. But some people use hypnosis to get people past that initial fear that like, I can't do this, and just sort of allow them to let their guard down. So, I mean, with the whole being a germaphobe, that's one of the ways people use it, where if someone's afraid of touching other people, you slowly ease them into it and under hypnosis. So
yeah, like I've been watching a lot of things that Howie Mandel's been on, like from everything from like dealer, I think it's Dealer No Deal, is that what it was called, something like that, all the way until nowadays when he's doing America's Got Talent. And like I've been also like following a little bit on social media and like just different videos and interviews, and that's always something that's been very consistent with him, like him and his germophobia. So I feel like he was really hypnotized, and because like everybody was like amazed. I was even amazed. I'm like, you're actually shaking Howie Mandel's hand without any protection on. So like, I just thought that was, you know, very legitimate. Like they didn't even, apparently the method that the guy used wasn't even allowed to be broadcast onto TV. So they had to like show like the judges or whatever, and like while he was doing it. And then after, like, because I don't know, I think it was because if you were actually watching the act, then you actually could become hypnotized. And apparently there was someone in the audience that was also hypnotized. I think that that was probably exaggerated, but I don't know.
Wait, so they're saying like this guy could have hypnotized everyone watching at the same time?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, they didn't really say too much. They just said, I think for legal reasons,
imagine
they couldn't
if, like,
show.
All of America was watching.
They just became soldiers. Because personal, like...
The CIA
like we see
study
this guy.
This guy.
Hey, right?
That's crazy, dude.
Alright, so, and, so this... The CIA MK Ultra, how was this exposed? Was it someone from the inside? What was it?
So there was like the church committee that was run by the government, and like Gerald Ford was like, "We're releasing in private like these information and like ending the program." So, like President Gerald Ford did it himself. So
wait, he knew about this?
Hmm.
He knew about this. The president.
Every president knows about everything that goes on in this stuff. There's no way they don't.
Wow, fake.
But
yeah, you have to notify everything to the president.
I mean, except if it was under Hoover. Who was that guy that was the head of the FBI? Wasn't that Hoover? J. Edgar.
Yeah, J. Edgar Hoover, yeah.
Yeah, like he... Some said like he had more power than the president at his height.
Oh, yeah, I think I did read somewhere that he did.
But, yeah, so unless it was under him, then it might not be.
That's crazy. Imagine being president. And like you literally, you just get sworn in, and then you head over to the Oval Office or whatever, and then you just start getting briefed on by the head of the FBI, the CIA, your secretaries, everybody, and they're telling you all this like crazy shit that you're like the regular citizens aren't supposed to know. Like who was
aliens
it?
Aliens at Area 51.
Yeah, aliens or like the Manhattan Project. It was who was the president that took over. During before they dropped that atomic bomb,
wasn't FDR the president the whole time?
No, I'm pretty sure someone became president in the middle of the Manhattan Project development, and they were informed literally the day of their inauguration. And the president after their term was over, they were like recounting it how like that was like one of the most stressful and scary things.
The Manhattan Project was the nukes, and during the whole nuke, like that was World War II. Franklin D.
Oh, yeah. I think it was Eisenhower. I'm gonna Google this. But, yeah, I think it's just crazy. Like, you have, like, one minute you're just like, oh, government's going great, and the next minute you're just like, oh, shit, there's so much crazy chaos going on.
It says here President Harry S. Truman.
Was it Truman?
Or Franklin Roosevelt? Yeah, I'm not sure.
Roosevelt. Yeah, I think it was... it's either Eisenhower or Truman.
Harry Truman was the person sworn in after FDR.
Oh.
So.
And FDR, he was a president during...
World War II. During
the 30s and 40s. FDR died in 45. So, yeah, that's right before they dropped the nuke in Japan.
Is it?
So, yeah. Didn't they drop the nuke in 45? That's when the war ended. All right. So, yeah, we got MK Ultra. What's the next conspiracy theory that is proven... true.
Well, the more recent one was Edward Snowden and the fact that the government's spying on us. Like, it's so funny because before this came out, there were so many people, like conspiracy theorists, that like, the government's spying on us, all our phones are tapped, all of our laptops are tapped, the cameras are tapped. Like, you would see people that put like post-it notes over their cameras. And like, before this all came out, people were like, those people are crazy. Like, there's no way. And like, but now like almost everyone has post-it notes over their cameras at this point. Like, I see so many people just have like post-it notes over their cameras so the government can't spy on them. Like, it's so crazy how right these people were. Like, the government was really mass surveilling all U.S. citizens pretty much.
Wait, when was this confirmed? Like, just recently?
I think it's within the last 15 years.
I mean, private companies also do that. Like, do you guys ever notice with the microphones? Like, I'll just be saying something or talking about something, and then I'll get, like, an Amazon ad or something, or a YouTube ad about what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one guy, he made a video about the exact thing you're talking about with companies. I think it was Google specifically. And so what he did was, he was doing an experiment where he got ads about dog food or pet food or whatever. He doesn't own any pets. He lives by himself. Nobody he's friends with owns any pets either. So we did an experiment, and he was just talking and talking, and then he went and opened up Google, the search, and he's just looking at the ads. Had nothing to do with and it was just some random stuff, other stuff that he was interested in. And then he put his phone down, and then he was talking for another minute, and he was talking about pets. He was just saying, like, I love dogs. I need to get a new collar for my dog. I love cats, yada, yada, yada. And he picked up his phone again went back on the internet. And he just kept getting ads about, you know, from PetSmart, Petco, these pet supplies, all this dog food, cat food. It was It was crazy, man. And the thing is, like, when you're, obviously this stuff is, what they're doing is technically legal because they put it in the terms and services. And, you know, nobody reads the terms and services. Everyone just wants to get on and get the service, product, whatever it is that they're trying to get. And they just hit accept. I mean, like, it's just, as long as they're not really requesting anything ridiculous. And then again, it is pretty subjective if you consider this to be ridiculous or not.
I think we put too much trust in the government to regulate this when in reality, they're probably working with them. They're probably just using them as like a mechanism to obtain even more information.
I mean, it could definitely be. It's like when the FBI goes to Apple and say, please unlock the phones right. for these people.
Right.
And Apple's like, no, we refuse, right? Like, here, we only hear about it because they refuse, right? How many times have the FBI gone to Google or this other company and asked them to give their information? They just gave it right over, you know?
Yeah. Like, I just can't see them being able to run business like that and make that much money and the government not taking a slice of that or even trying to, like, find out what they're doing. There's no way they're not regulated by them.
I mean, and even if it's not directly the government, it's like people that want to have influence over the government. Like, there was that whole Facebook scandal with God, what was that company called?
Cambridge Analytics.
Yeah, Cambridge Analytics, which pretty much was like taking the information and using it for politics, like pushing certain, they were taking like data from Facebook and using it to push certain politicians they wanted and stuff like that. So even in that sense, the government's being influenced by it one way or the other.
Yeah, it's definitely private behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Like publicly, it's one thing. Privately, it's different.
Yeah, but Edward Snowden revealed that the government was spying on all of us in 2013, and then he had to flee the country.
Yeah, it's a shame. This man comes out and proves that, you know, the government is, you know, listening in on us and just pretty much doing whatever they want virtually. And he has to go. He's uprooted. Did he move with his family or is it just him?
I don't know if his family went with him. I just know he left.
Yeah, and he's in Sweden right now, right?
Is he? Finland? I thought he was in Russia.
I thought he... Oh, wait. Maybe I think of somebody else. I don't know. He just flew outside the country. I think he went towards Europe. And right, obviously now I think he has like a refugee status or something like that. Russia would make sense since Russia and U.S. aren't really the best of friends.
Well, now they're kind of fine with each other, but
yeah. But yeah, I mean, at the time though.
So like, I'm thinking about this, right? Like, my phone is listening to everything I say, and you're pretty much telling me that the government is tracking what I'm saying, correct? Whenever I'm like talking near my phone or near my Chromebook or whatever.
Yes,
probably.
Like, the thing is like, what if, like, we're in a situation where, like, there's a kid who is threatening to, like, do something bad, let's say in his school, right? Like, the government can hear that, but they can't do anything about it, right? Because if they did, then it's like they're exposed.
Yes and no, but like the problem is there's so much data that they don't even know how to analyze it. Like, if you're listening to millions of people's phones, who is sitting there and going through millions of people at the same time, 24/7? Like, what they did do is they had like programs. They look like for keywords, right? Like, if you say terrorist, right, it is actively listening instead of passively listening. If you say,
oh, like, put like a red flag, and then like they start listening to like that like device or whatever,
yeah,
just to like pick up if there's like some sort of like plan of like attack or something like that.
Yeah, right now they're probably listening because Imit said that.
Yeah, Yusuf.
I think it might even be more than that, because like all this AI technology they're developing, like they might just set up programming for every single individual device and better analyze them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, since technology is getting better, obviously.
Yeah,
like AI, so every time when they're it's know more. Easier, yeah, when it's easier for AI to do human work, obviously they're going to be able to, you know, have huge workforce when it comes to monitoring people's cell phones and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like every single person is going
to
get watched.
I'm chill, bro. I'm not trying to do anything crazy with my life, so I think I have pretty boring information when it comes to that stuff.
Just don't plot
and that's
attacks,
the argument people make. Like, what does it matter if the government listens to me? I'm not doing anything. But
yeah,
at the same time, right, let's say someone gets into government and you're in a position they don't like, right? Can it not be used against you then? Like,
especially, so what do you mean?
Especially like, when they like, can wordplay and take snippets and here and there and make you look
exactly
bad.
Like, let's say, Mendy, you're gonna become a professor, right? Let's say, for, sure. And you're researching something, and somebody in the government is getting funded by pharmaceutical company to not have that researched, right? And they don't want mm-hmm. it to be researched because it'll make it that this drug is ineffective, and instead you could just get like physical therapy for it instead, whatever the situation is, right? Well, yeah. if this guy is listening to you, then he could take snippets of your voice and discredit you and like ruin your job and make you lose your job so that you don't research this.
I got you. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So that's the problem. It's like you have to assume like, they're not going to use it nefariously.
But like,
and that they're actually only looking for terrorists.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but like, I don't know. Is there like any news of that happening to somebody? That's what I mean. Like, it's not like I hear about stories like this, so I'm like, oh, I gotta watch what I say around my phone before they stop me. Like, I've never heard of like this sort of scenario. I know it's just like a hypothetical scenario you're giving out just like to prove the point, but I don't know. I feel like for the most part that wouldn't happen. You know what I mean? Because it's not like harming people. It would just, I guess, counter some company that's trying to make profit from whatever product they have. But I'm just opposing that through my research. Like, I just don't think that it's not practical to like intervene there. I feel, I don't know.
I mean, it depends, like, how said, much the could. Company pays. Like, there's some companies that pay lots of money to have the government do what it wants. Like, there's been so many scandals where, like, there was this whole thing on pharmaceutical companies were trying to find a drug for, like, you know how we have Viagra for men? They were trying to find a drug that helps women climax. And they were spending so much money lobbying the government to try to, like, approve these drugs and everything, even though they didn't work, like, and they were just trying to, like, work around it and stuff. Like, they didn't actually have an effect, but they were still, like, trying to get FDA approval and stuff. And it was a crazy time.
But
if you disprove that it doesn't work and they don't want it, then you can work around it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I just don't think, like who actually is going to live, you know, in their day-to-day life just, like, being cautious about, like, stuff like that. It's like, I don't know, that's too much worry. I would just rather talk about,
or, like,
about,
let's say you're a detective investigating a government corruption, right? That's a better example then. You're directly in conflict with those people, and then they don't want you to release the information that you got on them.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think if I was a detective, then I would actually care about something like this.
Well, the problem is this, though. What we're all essentially agreeing to is it's not going to affect me personally that much, so it's not a big deal until someone crazy obtains that power and, like, sells it off to companies or other countries, and then it starts to actually affect us. We can't stop it because they already have that power legally.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
You want to stop things before they turn into abuse. Like, just because right now it's not affecting me, they're probably only going after terrorists, it's not a big deal. Right, it's nice to say that now, but just like with all these other, like, right, we see CIA, it's supposed to investigate foreign countries and threats to the U.S., but at the same time they're doing experiments on U.S. citizens, right? Because they just had so much leeway and so much power that nobody was stopping it, right? Like, you have to stop abuse before the potential abuse can happen.
Yeah, I hear you. It's like, just because it's not like my own personal problem doesn't mean I, you know, you shouldn't give it a thought. But at the end of the day, what can I do?
Put Post-it stickers on your camera.
Yeah, right.
How am I gonna put Post-its on my phone though? Like,
just like, smash your camera.
How would you prevent your camera from hearing what you're saying? That, I don't know. That's like,
it's not your camera that records; it's your mic.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like,
you
how would
put
I
put on like sound canceling machines that they make for like privacy concerns? Yeah. Like, if you're in a,
do they sell that in the market?
Like, that's something you could actually buy.
Just have a really loud fan on you the entire time.
Like, people use this for confidentiality meetings. Like, you could put on a noise machine that, like, emits a certain noise that messes with phone recordings and stuff. That's a thing that actually exists.
Yeah, and, like, I'm sure you guys also heard about this with deep fakes and whatnot, and how a lot of them, you know, there are some out there that I've seen that are very convincing to, like, a regular person. I mean, I don't want to say, like, I understand deep fakes and whatnot, But someone was just showing a video of deep fake, and I could slightly tell that it was fake. But at the same time, if you're not really paying too much attention to like the nuances or whatever of the person, and like maybe the tone of the voice,
what is a deep fake for those that don't know?
Okay, so yeah, deep fake is it's pretty much where people I think it's like AI software that analyzes like anything that they can about anybody that's online. Like, for example, I'm just going to use Trump as an example. Someone can make a deepfake of Trump because there's years of footage of him from his TV show all the way until today with all his interviews, press conferences, and just videos online. The AI software would take all of those videos, analyze it, and then it would... And then whoever the programmer is would take that, and then they would create a video that looked very, very legitimate. And it would be, they would just have the software have Trump say whatever it is. And this could be done with anybody. That's why, like, but the only problem with this is it's, you would need a lot of recording and video and audio, depending on what you're trying to do, of that person you're trying to do. So, like, for example, us. People really can't put out a huge deepfake of us because, I mean, at least me personally, I don't really have a huge online presence when it comes to recordings. So
you got the old Minecraft videos that you used to make back on YouTube back in the day.
Dude, you got to mention that every single time. All right. But yeah, you just need an abundant amount of data to really recreate these deepfakes.
But what about our phones and their microphones? They hear everything.
Yeah, I mean, if people, whoever is creating these deepfakes, if they can get access to our phone recordings, our phone calls, then yes. But the only problem with phone calls is they would only be able to recreate phone calls, not like videos, because the phone call qualities aren't that great.
No, I'm not. I'm saying like just in general, if there is an online, if there is a microphone on the phone that's constantly on. That's just recording what we're saying.
So technically, they could always make a deep fake of you because even though yes. you don't have a lot out, your phone's always listening.
So, oh, yeah, yeah. So
the government
yeah,
could always true. Just come along and be like, well, we got all this evidence against you. You're like, I never said that. And they're like, yes, you did. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He said, and the thing said is, argument. Yeah, nowadays, it's more of as far as I've seen, there's just really more like research purposes when it comes to AI software, but this can easily get out of hand. Excuse me. And it's
like,
you know,
facial recognition.
Gets into the wrong person's hands, it can do a lot of harm. It, you know, obviously political people in office can, if they get their hands on this and want to use it in a bad way to slander the opponent, then they can. I don't know how easy it is. I don't really know too much about it. Like I said, it's still in its early stages. Once we have more, I guess like more understanding of AI or better grasp of how to use it and create it, then I feel like that's when deepfakes is going to start to pop up a lot more. Like there might even be some out there right now that we don't even know about.
Yeah, I just hope the people monitoring this stuff, I hope they're thinking that if I use this kind of shit, if I even give the opportunity to use this kind of stuff, then when I'm at an office, the same could happen to me and my family. So I think maybe like that, it kind of just regulates the general politician.
I mean, until you get one person that doesn't care about other people. And
yeah.
It's, like,
it's better to be safe than sorry, to be honest. Rather than just have it be like an unwritten rule and just people trusting each other. It's better to just have it written out.
Yeah, there's always a Hitler or a Stalin or someone else that just doesn't care about other people besides themselves that can come in and use it for any way they want.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, on to the next one. So we had Edward Snowden right now.
And then the next conspiracy is COINTELPRO. This is a very fascinating one where basically it was discovered that the FBI was infiltrating and disrupting different political parties and different groups in the United States that they deemed to be like problematic, including like feminist organizations, the Communist Party in the US, anyone who was opposed to the Vietnam War, the Civil Rights Movement, the Black Panthers, Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, environmentalists, animal rights activists, people from the American Indian Movement, and like a variety of organizations. And then eventually, like, they also used this program against the Ku Klux Klan, but primarily it was definitely majority what would be considered left-leaning organizations that were infiltrated. And sort of, I don't know, it was a bunch of different tactics. Like, they would use like psychological warfare by like forging documents and planting false reports in the media about you. They even assassinated the head of the Black Panthers. And they said like the FBI's motivation for all this was to protect national security, prevent violence, and maintain social and political order. But like the extents they went were like listening to people, for example, like listening to Martin Luther King Jr., right, and like recording his infidelity and threatening to release his infidelity if he doesn't stop the civil rights movement or his participation in it, or else they'll release the fact that he's a cheater and stuff like that. Like, these are all tactics of COINTELPRO. And the way this was discovered is actually so crazy. Basically, a group of Americans were felt like they were like people were being watched. And so what they did was, in 1971, a group of people got together during the fight of the century. It was a boxing match between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier in the March of 1971, when everyone would be too busy watching TV to pay attention. They decided to infiltrate an FBI building in Media, Pennsylvania, and just stole as many documents as they could and ran. And but because like this craziest match, it was called the fight of the century, was going on, nobody heard anything. Nobody heard the break in and everything, because like everybody was all about this fight. And it's funny because Muhammad Ali was actually investigated by COINTELPRO and was being watched. And so they take all these documents, they run away, and they start sorting through them, and they realize they stumbled into something huge. Like, what they wanted to do was like take papers for people who like were like avoiding the Vietnam War, like draft dodgers, to protect draft dodgers was like part of the reason they wanted to do this. And they ended up stumbling onto something huge. And then they gave it to the news media and had the news release the information to different newspapers. And it was crazy because the government kept trying to find who these people were that infiltrated this. And they even came to the house of the people. There's a husband and wife that was a part of this. And they came to the house and they asked if they knew these other people who were also part of it. And they said, oh, we don't really know them or what's going on and stuff. And when in fact they were the ones involved themselves. And one of these people was actually a professor at Temple University when I was studying, was one of the people that actually did this robbery and stole these documents from the FBI. And so it was very interesting to hear his story. Unfortunately, he passed away a couple years ago. But that professor told all about the story of how him and a group just came in and stole from the FBI and discovered this huge insidious plot against just movements that the U.S. government, that J. Edgar Hoover personally deemed he did not like.
Yeah, that's insane, man. Like, the FBI felt like that they had like some sort of... I mean, they do have a personal obligation to make sure that the domestically were safe, but they like had like a very specific political agenda attached to this. And, you know, you would expect the FBI to not have any sort of political bias at all when it comes to investigating, you know, any of these incidents, groups and whatnot. And obviously, like you said, majority of these groups were more left-leaning in the political spectrum, in American political spectrum. And like they only investigated one right leaning, the Ku Klux Klan. So like, you know, it's just very worrying because I know this happened a long time ago, and you know, today, like, I mean, we're not really sure, obviously, what the FBI is doing, because obviously it's all confidential. They're not going to tell anybody. But for all we know, you know, it could still be going on, something similar with any, like, if any other activist movements right now, like with Black Lives Matter, or like other activist groups as well, other feminist groups that are still continuing on. And, you know, it's just very worrisome.
I'm sure it always happens, though. I think, like, almost everybody's going to use that kind of bias when they get into that political position. Even though they might, like, find evidence that those organizations were doing something like that, the fact that, like, they're never going to investigate their team if they don't have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
the same thing could be happening on their team, but they're not going to investigate it, because why would they when they can investigate the other team?
And J. Edgar Hoover was very clear on his politics, and he was the head of the FBI at the time, and he was very clear on who he wanted investigated and who he didn't. So, like,
I'm not surprised. I'm sure that always happens, and probably always will.
Yeah, but the point of this was, like, they were so hands... Like, it's not just spying, right? Like, oh, let's listen in and stuff. It was, like, psychological warfare where they were forging documents and giving, like... For example, like, the Black Panthers today has a very big image of it being a very violent organization, right? Like, it was causing trouble or doing bad things when they actually didn't really participate in any violence whatsoever. They would do armed marches, similar to the... like armed marches we have today, where people, like, what was it in Michigan that they walked to the Capitol building with weapons? Like, it's legal, it's within their rights, they have Second Amendment rights. They weren't doing anything legally wrong, but they were painted as being very aggressive and, like, you know, being harmful when back then they weren't. Now, today there is something called the New Black Panther Party, which has no connection to the original member, any of the original members of the old Black Panther Party. And this New Black Panther Party is actually very anti-Semitic and is very problematic. Like, it's very different from the old ones. And former members of the old Black Panther Party have come out and said they don't support the New Black Panther Party and they're not involved with it. And, like, nobody should be involved in it because it's very anti-Semitic, like, believing, like, Jews control the world and stuff like crazy conspiracies like that. So... But yeah, under COINTELPRO, they even assassinated the head of the Black Panther Party, the old Black Panther Party, even though he was not directly involved in anything, like, illegal.
Yeah, that assassination is actually crazy. I was listening to another podcast a couple weeks ago that just went through the whole Black Panther history, and they're talking about the assassination as well. And so what happened was, the FBI working alongside the, I think it was the LA Police Department. I think that's where the Black Panther leader was staying. So they were working together, and what they did was they raided his house. And so the way it played out was they busted into the house, and there was so obviously they're armed. They have their own weapons. And one of the guards, he heard some noise, like, sound like someone breaking in. So he, like, turned the corner in one of the halls, and he had, like, he had a shotgun in his hand, and he was shot. And that bodyguard, so his gun was the only gun that was discharged by the Black Panthers, and it wasn't even aimed at anybody. It was only discharged because he was shot, and when he was shot, he, like, kind of clenched up and he pulled the trigger on his shotgun, and he was aimed at the ground, and no other bullets were fired by the Black Panthers. And the police department and the FBI, I can't remember the exact amount, but they shot somewhere around 100 plus bullets into the building and around the building. And a lot of people said that it was just a regular raid because they believed that there was illegal weapons and drugs and whatnot. But in the police report and also the further investigations that was done, there was clear signs that they targeted the leader because he was murdered in his bed. He was woken up in the middle of the night. He was in his bed with two other women, they were all sleeping, and so there's three people in the bed. The police did not harm the two other women, but they unloaded so many bullets into the former leader. Like, this is a clear target. They clearly targeted this man. They clearly wanted to assassinate him. So, like, it's just insane. And anyone that tries to say otherwise doesn't know what they're talking about. They haven't clearly done their own research and looked at the reports and whatnot.
Yeah, and, like, they even mailed a suicide letter to Martin Luther King Jr. to try to convince him to commit suicide and use this as his letter. Like, and some people believe, some members of the MLK family believe the FBI actually assassinated him, and like the person who did it was actually like an FBI agent, or it was a police officer paid by the FBI to do it, and then they just framed it on somebody else. And some people believe that Malcolm X was also assassinated by the FBI, who just blamed it on the Nation of Islam. Like, if you read the autobiography of Malcolm X, he makes a note, like, he feels like he's being watched more extensively than it was possible for the Nation of Islam to do, because he was a part of Nation of Islam. He knew what extent they, like, their systems were, or, like, how they could, like, follow somebody and do everything. And he said, like, the amount of, like, when he would pick up his phone, it would always sound like somebody's listening, and the Nation of Islam didn't have the capacity to wiretap and stuff. So he believed the FBI was investigating him shortly before his death. And so, and like, they never really caught the killers for Malcolm X. And so some people believe, and Malcolm X himself suggests, that it could have been a further conspiracy than just the Nation of Islam trying to kill him for leaving the Nation of Islam and slandering Elijah Muhammad, who was the leader of the Nation of Islam. So I don't know. It depends how far you want to believe the conspiracy. We do know they sent the suicide letter. We do know they executed the leader of the Black Panther Party. And they definitely, like, sent letters to Martin Luther King Jr. and tried to make him commit suicide by, like, saying they are going to reveal the fact that he's cheating and everything. So they definitely did some really nasty things, but we can never know to what extent or how far they went. I mean, it depends how much you believe, how deep you want to dive into the conspiracy theories. Like, if you want to get full-on conspiracy, they killed MLK, they killed Malcolm X, they killed all these people. But it depends how far you want to look into it. Did they have a vendetta against both of those people? Yes. Were both of those people, like, documents come out in COINTELPRO saying they were both being spied on and constantly under surveillance? Yes. Did they kill them for MLK and Malcolm X? There's no definitive proof. One way or the other, there's
it
just
happened, bro.
I think the government is probably just like picking favorites. So maybe he was right, and the Nation of Islam was behind it, but only with government support. So the government
could be true.
Like, because the government's not going to get its hands dirty if it doesn't have to. So it just, like, subcontracts the kill.
Yeah, and that's what they argued for Martin Luther King, because apparently, you can get read of the whole conspiracy theory, but there's, like, a restaurant nearby with a door, and the restaurant owner said this police officer passed through right after, like, running away, and that he saw the man, he recognized the man because he had, like, ate at his restaurant before, and, like, the police officer was running, like, he did, you know, like, pretty frantically, and, like, and it was at the same time that MLK got shot, and, like, some people think that, like, the FBI paid him to do it instead of the guy that was actually sent to prison for it. Like, there are members that believe the man who was in prison for killing MLK was actually innocent, and it is innocent to this day. Like, and some of them are Martin Luther King Jr.'s family members that believe this.
Yeah, so, isn't the guy that is in jail for MLK's murder, didn't he say that plead guilty and say that he did it, but then afterwards he started denying it?
I believe so, yeah. But
yeah, so, like, I mean, obviously, like Amit said, you know, you can dive deep into it. You know, in, you know, this situation with the murder of MLK, you know, it could seem like that if he was working with the FBI, and when he did plead guilty, that's what the FBI wanted. Maybe the FBI was promising, like, oh, don't worry, like, we'll get you a low sentence, or maybe we'll get you out the next year or whatever, and you will promise you this amount of money and whatnot. And then once he pleads guilty, that's a closing cut. What's the phrase for cases that are easily? Anyways, but like, so it's like open and shut case. That's exactly what it is. So they wanted it to get to that point for this guy. And then once that happened, they're not going to give him anything. They're just going to cut all ties. And then, so that way they just clean their tracks. And then that's why afterwards he would start denying, because, you know, he's not getting what he was promised, and he was just betrayed by the FBI. But then again, it's still a conspiracy. There's no definitive proof, but I believe it.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. And it's also like specific people in the government. It's not just one.
Yeah.
Like this was all done through J. Edgar Hoover, who had a personal. He had a personal hatred for like the civil rights movement. He didn't believe black people and white people were equal, and so like he didn't want them to get their civil rights. So. And he was the head of the FBI, so obviously he's going to use the FBI's influence to do what he thinks is best.
Right, but they got to keep that stuff under the radar.
Well, yeah, obviously everything is confidential when it comes to FBI and CIA work.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
There are, like, three things at this point that I believe in, and that's death, taxes, and conspiracies. Those are certainties in this world.
What do you believe in when it comes to taxes? Like paying him, or you're gonna have like
they exist.
They're existing.
Okay, all right.
You can't get around it. Yeah. It's impossible.
Oh my God.
No, I don't believe in paying taxes.
Fuck taxes, bro. IRS, don't audit me. Anyways, so what's the... No,
don't speak so loud, they can hear you.
what's our last conspiracy theory that is true on the agenda?
Our last one was brought to us by a very special man named Alex Jones.
Yeah, the man that quote-unquote is retarded.
Well, a little retarded.
Yeah, sorry, a little retarded. That's what he said. I'm not calling him that... That's you have to watch a Joe Rogan podcast with him. He's just like, I gotta be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded. Yeah. everyone, I was just like, why? Why are you saying that? But anyways, go on, Alex Jones.
I don't support Alex Jones or anything he's done recently, but back in the day, and what got him to be so big and famous was when he uncovered an actual conspiracy theory and proved it was true that there's high-level officials that were all meeting up together in secret and had a secret society, and it was called the Bohemian Grove. And so high-level politicians and other people in high positions would all meet up at the secret location, and like they had rituals where there was like a giant owl that they would worship to, and they had like... I don't know, they were doing weird paganistic rituals there as a group, and it was like, they say it was just a boys club, and it's just guys like hanging out and chilling and just doing fun stuff together, but it was very weird and it was very secretive. It was a secretive society that Alex Jones uncovered. And so there's lots of further conspiracies tied to this. Like, is this where the government, where the real people make the decisions for the whole world? You know, like these group of people decide what happens in America, and here's them all meeting up and deciding the fate of everyone else. Which some people believe, like there's just a secret organization. You know, some people say the Illuminati and stuff that run the country. And was this a secret meeting of the Illuminati?
So this is like the ultimate fraternity,
pretty much.
The article I was reading, that's how they described it. They described it a drunk frat boy party for rich people.
Very convenient.
That potentially can control the world.
That yes. Didn't say that, because there was no the article, and
there's
the reports,
no evidence that they do this stuff, but there's also no evidence that they don't discuss high level policies and.
The only thing that was proven is that they have the giant stone statue of the owl that they do rituals in front of, paganistic rituals, and they get extremely plastered. It's like a big party pretty much in the woods. That's all that was discovered.
So after Alex discovered this, is this still a thing, or this was like back then?
Well, it wasn't just Alex Jones. He just happened to be a part of the other journalists and investigative journalists that were that uncovered this. So I don't want him to be the only one that's credited for this. He just happened to be part of the group that was uncovering this.
And I want to go over. So this club, the Bohemian Club, was started in 1872. And some of the very big names that were a part of this club is Clint Eastwood, Henry Kissinger, Walter Cronkite, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, Charles Schwab, Ambrose Bierce, Bret Hart, Mark Twain, and Jack London.
Mark Twain?
Mark Twain was also part of this.
Bro, he's Illuminati? Yes, the author. What the fuck? He wrote some banging ass books, bro.
Yeah.
But like, for example, Henry Kissinger was big on foreign policy.
Wasn't he the Secretary of the United States?
Secretary of State.
Secretary of State.
So this was solely a gentleman's club?
Yes, like it was solely men. Gentlemen's.
Yeah. Got you.
Yeah, it's just a dick measuring competition.
I'm sure there's different groups, though. It's probably not just one.
Yeah, I mean...
It's probably like a many groups competing for power.
Yeah, it's not just that. I mean, I'm sure they're the ones in the U.S. I'm sure other countries in the world probably have, you know, their own groups. Like, there's this conspiracy theory with the Rothschilds family, how they are the ones that actually control the whole world. And they... Because they've been... I think their family's
Bill
been
Gates
in,
now, too.
Yeah, apparently Bill Gates now. But with the Rothschilds family, the conspiracy theory is where they... the family has been in banking, I think, for over 200 years, something like that. And they apparently that they own all of the national banks in the world, except for certain countries. I think like North Korea is one of them. And I think in a South American country, I can't remember which one. Probably and like Venezuela. I think Venezuela. I'm not sure which one it was. But like the conspiracy theory is that they own it, and their net worth, like off the record, is like in the trillions. They have like over $500 trillion in assets, and like, but if you Google the net worth of the Rothschilds family, it's around like $500 billion, which I mean isn't crazy for a rich family if you like get everybody's net worth together, because it's the whole family is like shares the wealth kind of.
That's still a shit ton of money, bro.
I mean, that is $500 million. Yeah. I mean, it's not all in cash. Like I said, it's all just net assets. Well, I mean, I can't even imagine owning anything over, like owning more than a couple $1 million in assets by the time I die.
I mean, they had lots of generations, but.
That's true.
But yeah, so all these members, like Henry Kissinger was the foreign policy person for Gerald Ford and Richard Nixon. He was responsible for like the Vietnam War, bombings of Cambodia. Like these are big decisions that happened. And like obviously Richard Nixon was a president, and so was Ronald Reagan. And so like you have some pretty big names out there that had lots of influence over the world that were all part of this. And I think it'd be silly. I'm not going to say that they spent their time here discussing what's going to happen in the whole world and what's going to happen to who and who's going to...
Once again, Emmett, I think, has DC'd. All right. Anyways, I just wanted to say... Welcome back, Emmett. I just wanted to say that I think I was reading somewhere. The Manhattan Project, there was a couple of meetings that were also held here at the Bohemian Grove. So, I mean, take that how you will.
So yeah. They talked about a lot of, like...
important
things that were super relevant.
Well, there's no proof they talked about this stuff here, but if you have all these powerful people together, are we going to act like they really didn't talk about anything important?
Yeah, it's,
dude, they had to.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have the president's meeting with other, whether it's foreign leaders or other big powerful people in the country, just to fucking, you know, be boys or
presidents
or
can have friendly conversations and just have fun.
Just get plastic.
They literally can't.
Yeah, but
they
like, but it's not stuff. Like your only friends are super insanely powerful and rich people. Like,
I mean, probably
it's not a coincidence, dude.
It's not a it's probably not a coincidence, but they probably are friends with other rich people. But
they're
not.
I'm not saying they're not, but these people, like, it's just a certain people that were a part of it. Like, whether it's with a. Like with Richard Nixon, Who do you know? Do you know who he was there with when he was there? Is there anything like reports
Henry
about
Kissinger?
That? Yeah, with Henry Kissinger. So like him and the Secretary of State,
the whole Vietnam War and stuff. Like
so, yeah, and like also the report of like the Manhattan Project meeting taking place there. Obviously, like that is. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. I think that might just be a rumor, but I mean, yeah, or speculation, whatever. So like it's. I don't know. I highly doubt these insanely wealthy and powerful people are coming together just to have fun.
That's not just to, but...
No, I mean, it could be a part of it.
That, yeah, that's probably what's going on. It's probably like a little bit of both.
Like, yeah, like, wait, so is this place like hidden or is it like publicly known?
It's where in the middle of the woods.
It was hidden.
It was hidden, yeah.
But now it's publicly known. Like, it was, so now it was deep in the woods. Meetings. Not there.
Was it private property or
dang.
What?
It was private yeah. property. Like, it was completely hidden. I think it even had a fence or something, so you're not supposed to get in, but...
Don't worry, guys. We have a fence.
I mean, if you're deep in the woods and then there's a fence, like, that would make most people not keep going forward, but...
Yeah, I think it's probably surrounded by, like... Too. They're, like, in, like... I think it was, like, a few hundred acres of land that's surrounding yeah. the area. So yeah, that's the last conspiracy theory that we have under our belt that we know that is proven.
I mean, there's many more. We could go on for days for different.
At least the big ones that we deem are very, you know, insane.
They're relevant to the U.S. If you want to go into foreign country, like there's so many other foreign country conspiracies on, like
Kim Jong Un is not actually alive.
Yeah, stuff like that, but. at least pertaining to
well,
the US,
I guess
these
you just
are some
started
bigger
conspiracy.
Ones.
No, I didn't start that. That's true. I don't want to get into it.
Wait, it's true?
Yeah. No, I didn't mean true. I meant the conspiracy theory being there.
Yeah, I know
true.
What you meant.
I didn't mean the conspiracy is true.
Yeah.
I think the conspiracy is that he actually got coronavirus and died, but that's a whole other episode. But yeah, so yeah, we're coming up on an hour 15, a little longer than our typical episode lengths, guys. Any last minute things you guys want to say, comments, questions, concerns? No? All right.
Just because these theories were true doesn't mean they're all true.
All
yes,
conspiracy
some
theories?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, obviously.
Well, you say that, but there's some people that believe some pretty interesting conspiracy theories that are pretty wild.
I mean, I guess. So yeah, obviously not every conspiracy is true.
Yeah, you know, but Area 51 probably does not have aliens. I'm going to go ahead.
It's in Denver airport.
Yeah, it's like they had to switch the location. It can't be there anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't want to seem like I'm advocating that all conspiracies are true, but these were the ones that were proven true, and that's why we can talk about them and have like factual facts, whereas, you know, and even these true conspiracy theories have branches that are not certain, and that's also part of the wildness of conspiracy theories. Like, how far do they even go? We may never know.
Damn. I do love factual facts. All right. And on that note, guys, we've been the Deep Thought Podcast, and I hope you guys have a great day. Bye.
Bye.
Peace out.
Later.